Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongPineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood on this 18th of March, as the madness is underway at the NCAA Division I men's basketball level. And of course, high school season wrapped up last week. Emporia State saw their men's basketball season come to an end this past Sunday in the regional tournament in Maryville, Missouri. And we'll talk about all that here as this show goes along. But one of the first things we want to talk about on this Saturday morning is Bill Tidwell, who passed away this past Thursday at the age of 90 after complications from cancer. And we say want to send out our condolences and prayers first to Bill's family as they mourn his loss, and as the Hornet Nation mourns the loss of Bill Tidwell, who was one of the all-time great track and field athletes in Emporia State history. And we'll be visiting here shortly with Mark Stambro, who former Emporia State track and field coach, also coaches cross country at Emporia State and still, and just get his thoughts on what Bill Tidwell accomplished during his time as a student athlete, and then afterwards as an administrator at Emporia State, as both the chair of the Department of Health and Education. He was also the athletic director at Emporia State for a while, and accomplished a lot of great things. When I first got here, Bill had already stepped away from being the athletic director at Emporia State, but he was still running the state high school basketball tournaments over at White Auditorium. Emporia State was the ones that were running those tournaments at the time, and he was the site manager, and he ran a very, very quality basketball tournament, and I think that kind of set the tone for where Emporia is now as far as hosting state tournaments are concerned, because Bill Tidwell set the foundation for those type of things. And with that, we say good morning to Mark Stambro. Good morning, Coach. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to tell some Bill Tidwell stories.
I'm sure you have a few, but you are probably thankful that earlier this week it was decided that the Emporia State Spring Invitational would be canceled. Competing in weather like today would be very, very, very challenging.
Well, it's always a tough decision, especially when you set up the meet and you have athletes coming in, you have officials coming in. But I think we made the right call today. It would be a miserable day out there today.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Bill Tidwell and what he was able to accomplish. Grew up in Kiowa, Kansas, earned the nickname of the Kiowa Flash. He was an outstanding football player, also an outstanding basketball player, but made his name as a track and field athlete. And he came, grew up during that time where there were a plethora of outstanding track and field athletes, Glenn Cunningham, to name one of them. And there are a number of Wes Santee, also in that list of outstanding Kansas track and field athletes that competed at the high school level in the mid to late 50s, and then, of course, carrying that over to the collegiate side in the 50s as well. I should go back to the 40s for the start of all this for Bill Tidwell. But boy, when you start looking at what he accomplished, some of the records that he held, and some of the everything that he was able to accomplish, it's really impressive.
Yeah, well, the Kiowa Flyer, as you said, you know, Bill actually graduated in 1950. He won the mile at the Kansas State High School meet, and he broke Glenn Cunningham's high school record that had been held for 20 years. And when Bill won that mile, he beat a guy named Wes Santee from Ashland, You know, Bill, one of his great characteristics was he was a very humble man. He really didn't like to talk about his accomplishments. You really had to coax stories out of him. And however, when you talked about Wes Santee, Bill kind of thought Wes was a little bit cocky. So Bill liked telling stories about him beating Wes Santee.
Well, he saw Wes Santee in a not only at the high school level, but throughout his collegiate career, and even competed against him when both of them were serving in the military in the 50s.
Yeah, actually, Bill and Wes Santee both started together at the University of Kansas. And Bill went there one semester and 5 days of the second semester before he decided to come to Emporia State. And they did meet each other a lot. In fact, when they both were in the service, they competed in the all-services meets, and Bill ended up beating Wes in the 800 and doing well while Bill was in the military from 52 to 54.
And then after his military service, he came back to Kansas and ended up at Emporia State, where that's where his accomplishments really start to come out, as he was a four-time national champion, a world record or a national record holder in a couple of really the 880, and also had a record in the 1500 meter run as well.
Yeah, you talk about records. To me, most amazing feat that Bill accomplished was back in 1955. He won, of course, national titles for NAIA, but he went to the national AAU meet, and at that time they were running yards at the 880 yards, and he ran 148.1. He actually ran faster than the world record by half a second, but he finished third in that race. But if you convert that time to 800 meters, which is what we run now, that's a school record, 147.61, and that school record was set in 1955. And so it's lasted almost 70 years. Nobody has even come close to it within 2 seconds of it. Nobody's broken 150, other ESU athletes. So that's just a tremendous record that stood the test of time.
You know, I mentioned that he was a track, you know, national champion, but he also ran cross country and was pretty successful at that.
Well, yeah, I mean, cross country was just really starting at Emporia State then. And Fran Welch was his coach. And Bill always held Fran in such high reverence. He was always talking very highly of Fran. But Bill was a competitor, whether you're running 800 meters or whether you're running 5 miles in cross country. And Bill was a three-time All-American in cross country, finished second in the nation his senior year. Bill just liked to compete, and he liked to race. One of my favorite stories about Bill was when he ran in the Texas Relays in 1957. He ran the college sprint medley, and he ran 147 split. Well, that was within a second of the world record at that time. And then he came back less than an hour later, and he anchored another sprint medley in the university division, and he ran within 2 seconds of the world record. And Fran made the comment that he had never seen such a runner turn in two such outstanding performances in such a short time. But his day wasn't over yet. He came back, and he finished fifth in the open mile, and then he anchored the mile relay. And I think in today's world that sometimes we get athletes saying, I can't run two races in one day, but Bill Tidwell ran just two world-class races and then two outstanding national-class races in addition to that just in one day.
Today, I don't know if he'd be allowed to run that many races.
Well, you know, Bill often thought as he got older, he said, what could I do today if I really trained with today's shoes, with today's tracks? And Bill tried for a while when he was a little bit older to come back, but he got injured and unfortunately couldn't do it. But that kind of brings me to the a story about him running in the Olympic trials. This would have been 1956. He had just come off winning the Nationals and NAI at 800 and mile, and he went to the NCAA meet. But before that meet, he injured his calf muscle, and he had to scratch from the NCAA meet. And he came back, and he ran the Olympic trials, but he wasn't at 100%. He finished sixth in that race, and it was a great field. Tom Courtney won, and he went on to win the Olympic gold medal. The top three finishers all finished in the top, top six at the Olympics. And Bill told me that he really thought, had he not been injured, and other people told me this too, that he would have made the Olympic team in 1956. Just some misfortune there. But he did have a great career overall.
Now, I never really did get to know Bill Tidwell really well, just in passing while walking through the offices at Emporia State. But he always struck me as somebody, as you mentioned, he didn't want to really, I guess you could say, boast about what his accomplishments were. But boy, if there was anybody who could should have been boasting about his accomplishments, he was one of them. But then he's one of those that he lets his results on the track speak for themselves, and boy, do they speak loudly.
Yeah, for years the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame wanted to induct him into their hall, but Bill just didn't want the limelight. And so he turned it down for several years, and eventually his family and friends convinced him to be inducted into the Hall of Honor. And you know, he was a great coach, too. He coached the first women's cross-country team in Emporia State. In 1980, the team finished second in the national meet. So Bill, as an administrator, as a coach, and, you know, after he got done coaching, he taught for several years, and I was fortunate to be his colleague. He was very instrumental in our coaching education program. He was one of the leading coaching educators in the United States. He hooked up with Reiner Martins with the American Sport Education Program, and which is just a tremendous educator, influencing several people.
You know, and that's the part that some people may not realize, but Bill Tidwell was the athletic director for a while, and he had, you know, when you look at people who've been associated with Emporia State over their lifetime, there are just a couple of them that you follow them all the way back to when they were student athletes at Emporia State, and to where they were a coach and then an administrator at Emporia State. And Bill Tidwell's one of those people, that one of the few that his fingerprints are all over Emporia State.
Well, that's a good comment. You know, when I travel the U.S. to track meets, and I talk to veteran coaches and fans, and I say I'm from Emporia State, more often than not, they'll say, well, that's where Billy Tidwell ran. So Billy Tidwell certainly has a name not only locally but nationally and even internationally.
Well, unfortunately, he passed away, and just so people realize, they are planning to organize a celebration of his life later this year, Bill's family. They are requesting no flowers, but a memorial has been established with the Bill and Kathy Tidwell Family Track and Field Scholarship at Emporia State University. And if you'd like to make a contribution in memorial of Bill, you can do that through Robert's Blue Barnett Funeral Home, and they can help you out doing that. But what an outstanding, you know, it is interesting when you start looking at the history of track and field at Emporia State. There are a lot of people who had great accomplishments, and track and field at Emporia State has a very, very rich history, and Bill Tidwell is a part of that.
Yeah, when you start talking about, you know, eight different world record holders, a world record distance medley relay team, an Olympic champion, Bill Tidwell, and the fact, I think, that he stayed around Emporia and was involved in Emporia State as an administrator and a teacher and a coach, it's just kind of been the living legend, in my opinion, around Emporia for the last several years.
Well, Mark, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us a little bit about Bill and remembering Bill and his accomplishments and how impressive they are. And as you mentioned, that 880 and the 800-meter time is one that is very impressive, and it'll be interesting to see how long that one stands.
Well, it certainly stood the test of time. I would like to express my condolences to the Bill Tidwell family. Bill was just a remarkable man. He just made a positive difference in so many lives.
Well, thanks for your time, Mark.
Thank you.
That's Mark Stambrough, who is a former head track and field cross-country coach at Emporia State, and I'm sure Bill and Mark had a lot of conversations about hit their time in track and field and those type of things during Mark's time as the head coach. And also, you know, Bill Tidwell, he'll be missed, but he left his legacy at Emporia State, and it is one that is very, very impressive. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
At Longmine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. The fun is here, and so is your chance for special March savings. We have new Chevy models in stock and more arriving every day. Save thousands in interest alone with 0% APR financing up to 36 months on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado models, including crew cabs. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw you make up to $500. Don't forget to let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. It's our annual March Savings Mania Sales event, and it's right here at Longmine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us at longmineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. Offers for qualified buyers with GMF financing. All rebates assigned to dealer, tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Both the Arkansas men's and women's teams won the indoor track and field championship last weekend in Albuquerque. They're the first program since Oregon in 2016 to take home both trophies. The women from Fayetteville edged out the Texas Longhorns to win their second team title in 3 seasons. It's the 4th indoor championship for head coach Lance Harder, who is set to retire in June.
It's very sweet. I just met with all the girls and just said, you know, selfishly, I want to thank you to let me have another title. And maybe we can rally outdoors as well.
Hours later, the men's program won their first team title since 2013. The Razorbacks were led by senior Kerry McLeod, who placed first in the long jump.
Just deliver on the big day because, you know, national is where you want to win, because I've won many SECs, but I never won national. So this is my last year, so I got to make it count.
The Arkansas track and field program now has 49 overall national titles. Family members square off for a championship. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Like bones, your teeth lose density and become weaker over time, which can lead to tooth decay. And that can make your visit to the dentist feel like this. But if you want your dental visit to feel like this, try Crest Densify. Crest Densify actively rebuilds tooth density to extend the life of teeth by remineralizing enamel. Densify from Crest, the number one toothpaste brand in America. Smile, Crest has you covered.
Senior Nathan Lackman won the D3 wrestling title at 165 pounds last Saturday. Who did he beat? His brother, Matt Lackman, a junior from Alvernia University. The Lackman brothers were the top 2 seeds in their weight class. Nathan bested Matt in overtime with a takedown. He has now won a national title and earned All-American honors in 2 straight seasons. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood. And it is March Madness time. NCAA Men's Division I Basketball Tournament. First round in the books. And there was some madness in the first round.
Quite a bit of it, actually, as it comes to be. Yeah, we lose a 1 seed, second time in history that a 1 has lost to a 16. Of course, the first day we see Furman, you know, knock off a high seed Virginia, and then of course Arizona bows out of the tournament as a 2 seed. In their loss, and so it's been a wild tournament. You know, unfortunately, we've lost 2 Big 12 teams after round one. West Virginia, a close one to Maryland. Of course, those 8-9 games; those are pick 'em games. And you know, before we went on the air, I was talking about boy, Iowa State. Man, I don't know what happened to them. That was a pitiful performance. You know, you look at their numbers in that game: 41 points. They shoot 23% from the field. That includes 2 of 21 beyond the arc. if they score their average, by the way, they were the lowest scoring team in the Big 12. But if they score their average, they win that game by almost 10 points. I don't know what – I mean, obviously it was a rough day for the Cyclones. But, hopefully the other five Big 12 teams that are left can continue to do well in the tournament and continue to hopefully live up to the billing of the best conference this year. But once you get to this tournament, I mean, crazy things happen. And even though you may be rated the best conference, all it takes is one. Matchups are so important. Just like the guy from FDU said after the Purdue game, we could play them 100 times, and we'd probably lose 99 of them, but we won the one that we needed.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. And that's the beauty of the tournament. We say this every year. That's what makes it so great, is you see things like that happen.
And for college basketball, it's a one and done. It's not a best of seven series. That would be a long – we'd be playing into July with that scenario.
We have an NBA schedule.
Yeah. But, and that's, I think, what makes this time of the year for college basketball is so exciting. If you have a bad half – it could end up costing you. Have a tremendous half, it could end up propelling you onto some great things. You mentioned the Big 12. Of course, KU wins their first round game as they open up with a victory over Howard. Made it look kind of, when it got said and done, KU did what they were supposed to do and ran away and hid from them. Then Texas wins their first round game. Kansas State wins last night. It wasn't by a large margin, but that Montana State team, not a bad basketball team, but Kansas State only trailed for a minute plus in that contest, so they kind of did what they were supposed to. As I was watching it, I never felt like Montana State was going to make a run and take the game away from Kansas State, because K-State was just doing so many things well that I never felt like that was going to get away from them. The other team that lost, you mentioned West Virginia and Iowa State were the two that lost. TCU pulled one out of the jaws of defeat last night.
Yeah, they were in some trouble for a long time in that game, and I began to wonder if they were going to be able to pull that thing out. But they were able to. I think that, they pressured them a little bit defensively, and that kind of turned the tide for them. Mike Miles had a great game for them, and Arizona State had been on a pretty decent roll. They had not been a great shooting team prior to the tournament, but they caught fire over the last few weeks. And that's a decent Arizona State team, very athletic. TCU, they were close. And maybe that's the game that then propels them onto who knows what. I mean, because they've got the talent. I mean, that's a very athletic basketball team, and very impressive team. Of course, we saw what they did to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse during the regular season, so they're more than capable.
And Jerome Tang, before they played them in the Big 12 tournament, he said, when everybody's healthy and on, TCU is as good as anybody in the nation. And the other Big 12 team that's still alive is Baylor. They defeat UC Santa Barbara. They win that game 74-56, so it turned out to be a nice win for Baylor, as they kind of dominated down the stretch in that one. But, you look at Fairleigh Dickinson, who knocked off Purdue yesterday, the second 16 seed to knock off a number one seed. They open up with an impressive win over Texas Southern, and then two nights later they knock off Purdue. Two nights later, they get to go up against Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, so we have FDU against FAU in the round of 32. Who put that in the bracket, I wonder?
And as Florida Atlantic knocks off Memphis, who some people think would...
And that was a last-second deal, too, at the very very end.
Drawing a tie-up, and two Memphis players called a timeout, and the official was right in between the two Tigers that were calling a timeout and called the tie-up. And
Penny Hardaway obviously wasn't very happy with the way that game ended, because they clearly got the time, should have had the timeout, and didn't get it.
He chucked a water bottle after the game.
Yeah. I can understand. I saw a picture of the whiteboard that was in the Purdue locker room.
I saw that too.
It didn't survive.
It did not survive. But man, Purdue, boy, we talk two teams that just have had just crazy luck in this tournament, and unfortunately, a lot of it bad. you know, of course, you look at Purdue. The last three times they've been ousted by a double-seeded team as a 3, a 4, now as a 1. And then you look at Virginia. Now, granted, Virginia does have a national championship that they can talk about. But other than that, the three previous times they've been in this thing, they've been ousted in round one. It's a very unforgiving tournament. And man, you see the best, and then you see the worst in terms of people and in terms of feelings and emotions and. But again, it's what makes it, I think, in a lot of people's opinion, maybe one of the, if not the best event in sports. And there's still a couple weekends left. So,
yeah, there's 8 games on tap for today, 8 games on tap for tomorrow. KU will be in action this afternoon, 4:15 tip off from Des Moines, and they will be taking on Arkansas, who defeated Illinois 73-63. And this is an Arkansas team that is about as athletic as anybody in the tournament.
You know, they've been one of those teams that has been hard to figure out over the course of the season, because you look at them on paper with the talent they have, and I think you can make the argument they have as much talent as anybody out there, but they've lost 13 times. They're very inconsistent. You just hope you catch them on an inconsistent day and not when they're clicking on all cylinders. They're not a particularly gifted perimeter-oriented team. They don't shoot the ball well. Now, I'll say that, watch them go out and hit about a dozen threes today. But, you know, they do a lot of their damage in the paint, on fast breaks. They're long. They're just a good-looking basketball team. And Kansas will certainly have their hands full today. But by the same token, if Kansas is playing well and playing their A game, there's no reason why they won't advance.
And they start, and Arkansas started the season 11-1, and they were in the top 25, and they have a loss to Creighton, and that was in Maui, and then they beat San Diego State, also in Maui in the third place game. But it just seemed like an SEC play. That's when just kind of the toll came for Arkansas, because they lost to LSU, Auburn, Alabama, Vanderbilt. They lost to Mizzou. It seemed like the month of January wasn't the best for the Razorbacks. And also, they have a 3-point loss to Baylor at Baylor.
Well, of course, Nick Smith, a very highly touted player. Matter of fact, many think he probably be maybe a top, you know, 5-6 pick in the draft. And he was hurt a better part of the season, and then there's now getting him back and rounding into form. So they haven't had everybody, you know, at their disposal the entire course of the year. But yeah, Arkansas, good looking basketball team, and KU will have their hands full today.
K-State tomorrow takes on Kentucky. Kentucky defeated Providence 61-53, and what was kind of a slugfest. That was one of those lows. Neither team could score the bucket, but they both played some really good defense, and Kentucky was able to make some shots down the stretch and come away with a 8-point victory. And Kentucky's going to offer some challenges for Kansas State.
No question. Kentucky, and again, one of those teams that their season did not go as they had expected. They were preseason top 4. But again, inconsistent. They have trouble scoring the basketball, particularly shooting the ball. They're not a good shooting team. But they certainly have a guy inside who, if you don't keep him off the glass, he's going to have a monster game. He didn't score much yesterday. But Oscar Tshiebwe had 25 boards. The guy he's an animal on the glass, and that's how they make their living. Toppin has been playing well here of late. Kasan Wallace is a very, very capable guard, very talented kid. Obviously, when you're talking Kentucky, you know there's going to be talent there. There always is. But, again, can they put it together? Very, very similar to Arkansas in terms of expectations. And just haven't quite lived up to them. But, hey, it's a brand-new season, and, you know, you never know when that light switch may go on. So Kansas State will have to play a very, very good game to beat them.
And I know Jerome Tang knows about Oscar Tshiebwe, with Oscar playing in the Big 12 at West Virginia. I know he's probably had to scout West Virginia several mm-hmm. times when he was at Baylor, so he's got to be familiar with that. And I bet he gets a hand on the Kentucky's game against KU to see what they kind of did this year, and just kind of evaluate what Kansas did well to beat the Wildcats in Rupp.
Well, and as the case is with all these teams, one, you have to take care of the basketball. You can't turn it over. You can't give away extra. Then you have to be efficient offensively. You have to be able to score. And then defensively, not give up easy shots. Make them work for it. If you can do those things, you have a chance to win every game that you play, any of those teams, any of the teams in, oh, in yeah. the tournament. And it's you make it sound kind of simple, and it kind of is, but executing it becomes the challenge. And sometimes you run against teams that have a little more talent than you, that are executing and playing at a high level at the same time. Those are the teams that are special.
And if they're clicking on all cylinders, you tip your cap to them and move on. But yeah, in most of these games, it typically comes down obviously to how well you defend, and in very simple terms, making shots. You got to be able to shoot the basketball, and you better be able to shoot it from the 3-point line. At least get some makes.
Yes.
Again, going back to Iowa State, you can't go 2-for-21 from the 3-point line and expect to win a tournament game. It's not going to happen. So you got to be able to at least make some shots throughout the course of a game, and again, play good defense, and certainly get on the glass. You got to rebound.
Well, you look even at the K-State game last night in Montana State. They were horrid for a while from the 3-point line, and a team that shot free throws extremely well during the season struggled from the free throw line. If they knocked down a couple threes early, make their free throws, that could have been a different ball game for K-State.
Absolutely. You know, again, it's just everything has to click when you're playing in this tournament. I mean, you just have to be at your best, or you're going to get beat by anybody. You know, going back to the Purdue game, the one thing that just boggled my mind is they have the National Player of the Year on their roster. The guy is 7'4". No one else has a player like this kid on their roster. And he didn't even touch the ball, but barely, you know, like the last 9-10 minutes of the game. I didn't understand what Purdue was doing. I know they were double-teaming him, but FDU was the smallest team on the tournament. You got to at least give him a touch. You got to attempt to feed the post, particularly when you're coming down the stretch and you're in a tight game and you need a bucket. If nothing else, you may get fouled and get to the free throw line. He's a pretty decent free throw shooter. I just didn't understand what they were doing. And, man, you watch those poor kids play that last 3-4 minutes, how tight they were. No one really wanted to shoot the ball going down the stretch. It just makes for incredible theater. And that's why it's so enjoyable to watch.
The madness is underway.
Again, absolutely.
Again, KU plays this afternoon, 4:15 tip-off, as they go up against Arkansas. We'll have the game for you here on KVOE. Tomorrow, Kansas State takes on Kentucky. That is a 1:40 tip-off, and you'll be able to hear that game on Country 101.7 FM. Also, tomorrow we'll have continuing coverage from Westwood One of the NCAA tournament. We'll begin our coverage about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon here on KVOE. Get our next break in, and then when we come back, we'll rehash some of the high school state results from last weekend when we continue on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. The fun is here, and so is your chance for special March savings. We have new Chevy models in stock and more arriving every day. Save thousands in interest alone with 0% APR financing up to 36 months on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado models, including crew cabs. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw you make up to $500. Don't forget to let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. It's our annual March Savings Mania Sales event, and it's right here at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us at longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. Offers for qualified buyers with GMF financing. All rebates assigned to dealer, tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, and we're talking about March Madness. And at the high school level, it wrapped up last week with the state high school basketball tournaments and couple of area teams were playing for championships, getting ready to play championship games a week ago this time, Lebo girls and Lebo boys. And unfortunately, at the end of it, it was Hanover winning the girls 1A Division II state tournament, outscoring Lebo 59-34. But what a tremendous season for the Lebo girls. They finished 25-1, and what a tremendous run for that group of players. Brooklyn Jones had a tremendous I believe she's a senior.
Yes, she is.
So she's having just a tremendous senior season. Wins a high school volleyball state championship, mm-hmm. plays for a basketball state championship, and I'm sure I'm going to see her name on the list of those that are competing at the state track and field.
Especially with the javelin. I believe she has Sutton. I think I mentioned this about a month ago when we selected her for an area athlete of the week, but has already signed to continue her throwing career at Kansas State.
And then the Lebo boys went up against Greeley County, the defending champions in 1A Division II, and lost a heartbreaker. 49-43 was the final score in that one. The game featured 8 lead changes and 5 ties, but Greeley County would take the lead with about 2:41 to play in the game, and Lebo just couldn't get some shots to go down. But what a tremendous season for the Lebo boys. Finished 18-8, and they had some really impressive performances during that state tournament. Grayson Shoemaker, I think, had 30-plus points in the first-round game, and then had a player that scored.
Landon Grimmett.
Landon Grimmett had 30-plus points in the semifinals. They had a couple of guys that had some outstanding performances, but unfortunately just came up a little bit short to Greeley County. But congratulations to both Lebo girls and boys basketball teams. Outstanding seasons. And unfortunately, in the game of basketball and the game of sports, when you're playing championship games, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. And but you may not have had the most points in the game, but that I thought had a tremendous season, and congratulations to them. Even to the Opie boys, who were defeated in the semifinal round of the 1A Division I state tournaments. They play in the third-place game last Saturday against South Gray, the team that they faced in the two previous state championship games. And I don't know how a state championship game could match what that third-place game offered. 80-77, South Gray wins that one. They go double overtime in a third-place game. And, you know, I'm one of those people that I sometimes ask, them, why are they playing the third-place game? That's the reason they're playing a third-place game.
Well, I'm in the same boat you are, Greg. I've never understood why you play for third, because typically the last thing I think some of these teams want to do is come back and play another game when it's not going to be for a state championship. But obviously in the case there, both teams wanted it badly. I mean, you don't play double overtime 80-77 and not have two teams who want it badly. And Olpe, you know, man, their last two games at the state tournament lose by a combined 4 points. They lose by one in the semifinal and then 3 in overtime in the third place game. But you know, you're still talking about a two-time defending champion. I mean, Olpe with just another great season, no doubt. And then of course, you know, just to rehash, you know, of course the Olpe girls make it to state, the Emporia High girls make it to state. It was a really good year for area basketball.
Yeah, Olpe boys, by the way, finished 22-4, and I think in all four of those losses, they were all real close.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost to Linden and Osage City. Those were their two losses that they had. I think it was somewhere between two and four with Linden, and then I think it was 3 or 4 against Osage.
And both of those teams probably could have made runs in the state tournament play. Unfortunately, they were defeated in sub-state play. But the other state champions that were crowned over at White Auditorium, the Andover boys defeat Cape and Mount Carmel 54-46. Now Andover was a team that knocked Emporia High out of the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not that it makes you feel better, but maybe it does to some degree. You lost your sub-state title game to the team that goes on to win the state championship. So you lost to the best team that was out there, and they certainly proved that over the course of the season and in the postseason.
And while I'm thinking about it, congratulations to Coach Lee Baldwin, named Coach of the Year in the Centennial League this past year.
Very deserving.
Very.
No question.
Very.
And Jalen King was what, first team?
He was first team and the newcomer of the year in the Centennial League. And that's well deserved. I've enjoyed covering him. He had some transfer rules moving in, and he made an impact during the football season. I believe it was the Wichita East game where he first came in, and then I'm like, man, where's this kid been all year? And then I heard at the end of football season, he's a good basketball player, and I was very impressed with him on the basketball court. And not to mention, I know he's going to be playing baseball for Anthony Markowitz. I was out at baseball practice the other day, and Jalen could bring that speed and athleticism to the baseball diamond for the Spartans.
And while we're on the subject of All-League, Parker Leeds also receiving All-League honors, and Fred Jackson. Also receiving All-League honors. Have they released the girls' All-Centennial League?
They have not. I was texting back and forth with Coach Dorsey. I actually texted her on Monday. She goes, we haven't selected yet. I'm like, really? Because I know Sports in Kansas was tweeting yesterday. They still haven't seen the Centennial League girls or the Meadowlark League boys. And I'm like, I messaged Chuck Copeland. I said, they haven't selected Centennial League girls yet. That's what I heard.
Well, you would certainly think that Coach Dorsey would be in contention for Coach of the Year.
Would think so.
But we'll have to wait and find out for that. And on the girls' side, it was St. Thomas Aquinas outscoring Bishop Carroll in the girls' championship game.
Is that their seventh
That's
straight?
That's seven.
Great.
Seven. As the four seed.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising. Not in the least. Yeah.
6A, Blue Valley Northwest Boys and Blue Valley North Girls, who defeated Washburn Rural 35-34. Listening to that game coming back from Maryville, Missouri on Saturday, and Washburn Rural had a chance to win that one and just couldn't shut it down.
Yeah, yeah. And Rural, weren't they looking for back-to-back?
Yes.
Did they win it last year?
Mm-hmm.
And was so close to doing it. God, they're so consistent.
And the thing about that Washburn Rural team is Kevin Borderwick lost a volleyball player. She's going to play Division I at UNLV, decided not to play this year. The Canfield girl, Zoe Canfield, is going to go play for Brandon Schneider at KU, tears her ACL in January, and then they got all these sophomores running around and Brooklyn DeLay inside, and it just seems like, what would have happened if Emporia High would have got another shot at them?
Well, and I mean, they are certainly a basketball factory over there.
Yes.
Man, you think about the girls they've put out, not only in basketball, but you mentioned volleyball. I mean, it's just amazing what they do with their girls' athletic programs at Rural. I mean, it is a machine. And just about got another one, so.
Yeah. And I mean, and Washburn Rural had like five losses on the year. They had lost to Shawnee Mission South, who was the number one seed in 6A, and they got bounced by Blue Valley, another team Rural lost to in the regular season. Hey, it was March last week, and there was a lot of different things that happened at state basketball last week.
In 4A, Hugoton Boys and Bishop Miege Girls. No surprise.
Shocker. Another surprise.
And Bishop Miege Girls defeated McPherson 67-53.
And McPherson girls were really good.
Yes.
And they got beat by double figures.
And the Miege Boys were in the semifinals, and they got bounced by McPherson.
Who ends up losing to Hugoton.
Yeah. A little bit of a surprise in 4A on the boys' side.
In 3A,
and their coach decided to retire, too. The longtime boys coach at Miege.
In 3A, Heston Boys, they defeated Marysville, and Goodland Girls, a winner over Cheney. In 2A, the Mound Ridge Boys defeated Wichita Independent, and saw a photo this past week on Twitter. Tara Holloway Churchill, I think her son is on that team.
Oh, my gosh. Greg, does that make you feel a little old?
But they were showing, J.C. Holloway, her brother, won four state championships. Mm-hmm. Her sister, Dina Holloway, who ended up playing at Emporia State, won three state championships. Tara only won one state championship while
Slacker.
She was there. And then her son and I think a cousin were on that Mound Ridge.
Mound Ridge loves the Holloway family.
Yes, they do, and they've had a big hand in it in that state championship game. Marine Academy girls won 2A, and in 1A Division I, it was the Maxville boys defeating Wichita Classical. Classical, the team that defeated Olpe in the semifinals, and Donovan West won the 1A Division I girls state championship. And congratulations to all the state champions and everybody who made it to state. Congratulations, and an outstanding accomplishment.
And like I said, we just had a lot of good area basketball. The teams that made it to state, the Emporia High boys, I still think had the most incredible season of anyone. When you think about what they were at, or where they were at last year with four wins, and no one thought they would do what they did this year. So kudos to Coach Ball and his staff and their kids.
That's a brand new staff too. And the only returning coach on that boys staff was Jalen Carter, who's one of the assistants and coaches the freshman team, or C team is what they called it this year. But that was a fun team to be around all year long. And I can just remember at December and then game three out, and then they beat Hayden at Wild Auditorium. Like, this team's going to be a little bit special. And then they beat Hayden again and had some really good wins this year, sweeping Manhattan. I don't know the last time Emporia High swept Manhattan. That Manhattan team was good. Winning at Junction City. We're in it with Washburn Rural. Man, and it just seemed they were in it against Andover Central at Chanute, lose at the buzzer to a team from Springfield, Missouri. And, I mean, their only worst loss of the year was by 13 points. Well, I guess minus the Andover loss. But the closest game they had after that Andover loss was 13 points to Junction City at home. And then they repaid the favor when they went to Junction City and won by 14.
So high school season is over with, and Emporia State men's basketball season came to a close this past weekend. Last Saturday, they opened up NCAA regional tournament play, defeating Northern State 72-51. They just jumped out to a big lead by the time halftime rolled around, used a 24-9 run to close out the first half, and never did look back. And unfortunately, the shots didn't fall in the second round like they did in the first round. They end up losing to Minnesota Duluth 84-79. Emporia State ends their basketball season with a 23-9 record.
Well, the team made history. First win in an NCAA tournament.
And I use the term stepping stone a lot going into that tournament. Sometimes I'm a firm believer in you build it incrementally. First you get to turn it into a winning program, then 20 wins, NCAA tournament, get that NCAA tournament victory. They can return all five starters from this last year's team next year. They'll have the experience of having won a game at the NCAA tournament, which is huge. Then they also have the experience of having lost a game at the NCAA tournament, which can be a great motivator, especially when you start looking at what happened after that game. Minnesota Duluth would go on to defeat Southern Nazarene in the regional championship game to get to the Elite Eight. That's because Southern Nazarene knocked off Northwest Missouri State in the semifinals.
Yeah, that regional was not kind to MIAA schools.
No.
There were three of them in it, and none of them made it to the championship game of the regional.
And, at Minnesota Duluth, nothing really special about them. They just played hard, played well together, played some good defense, knocked down shots when they needed to, and Emporia State just couldn't answer it on the other end offensively. And learning experience for those guys.
Have we learned or heard anything on the women's side as far as a coaching search?
No. I do know that, like I said the last time, they are going to be using a search firm to help in that search. I have talked with Kyle Unruh, and he is very interested in that game, in that position. And he told me that whether he's selected or not, he felt like he had to make a push for it, and he's making a push for it. And whether he's selected or not is up to David Spafford and the selection committee. But his name is in the hat, and we'll have to see what direction they decide to go.
Well, we have seen a former Lady Hornet assistants be named head coach and then go off and do bigger and better things. There are two to be named, with Brandon Schneider at KU and then Jory Collins at North Dakota State. So,
both those guys make the WNIT this year.
KU won last night. Unfortunately, North Dakota State did not win last night. They were at Oregon, and Oregon kind of manhandled North Dakota State. But, you know, that's a stepping stone for them. I kind of did some checking, and for Jory, their season, that's the best season they've had since I think it was early 2000s.
Yeah, had a great year.
Had a tremendous year, finished second in the Summit. Unfortunately, just had a bad outing in the first round of the Summit tournament. They lost to UMKC, just didn't match up right, and disappointing, but they did make a trip to the postseason this year, and hopefully that's a sign of good things to come for Jory at North Dakota State, and for Coach Brandon Schneider, hopefully his team can make a run in the WNIT.
I know there's some disappointment they did not get an NCAA bid. There were those who thought they might get one, but now, you know, you're in the WNIT. Now go win some games and finish your season strong, and hopefully that'll be a, you know, as you mentioned, a building block for next season, and they'll play in the NCAA tournament.
And K-State did win their first-round WNIT game, defeating Wichita State earlier this week, and they get to play Wyoming on Tuesday, I believe it is, and KU takes on Missouri.
I was going to say, I think Brandon gets Missouri.
And I think that game's on Monday.
Come on, Brandon.
Yeah.
Come on.
Monday in Allen Fieldhouse.
You got to beat the Tigers. I mean, good grief. Come on. That'd be a great way to...
Yes. Yes, indeed.
To add another feather in your cap.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us here on this Saturday morning sports talk show. Again, big thank you to Mark Stambro for calling in and talking about Bill Tidwell. And again, our condolences and thoughts and prayers to the Bill Tidwell family as we remember him after he passed away this past Thursday. He was 90, an all-time great at Emporia State, as his legacy is well cemented at Emporia State. For Tim Miller, for Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongpineAuto.com.
AM 1400 KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM KVOE.